You are listening to CORE, powered by and for the Holt family of companies. Let's dig in.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of CORE. Today, I'm sitting here with Bree, our environmental compliance specialist, and she's got a really cool position because she gets to have a hand in every division within our company. So I thought it would be great to have her on the podcast to talk about a little bit about her role and about how our environmental compliance plays into our everyday roles and how our company operates in each of our respective industries. So welcome, Bree. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, my name is Brianna Jansen. I go by Bree. I'm the environmental compliance specialist here at Holt of California. And I've worked here for about a year and a half.
Awesome. I'm assuming you went to school for environmental sciences.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What inspired you to want to pursue a career in environmental sciences?
I've always been interested in environmental protection. I went to school for it and then kind of got introduced to environmental like restoration ecology, and that it sparked my interest in how environmental protection and business operations intersect. So I've done a couple of environmental positions since graduating, and this job kind of captures everything that I kind of learned in school and what I've done after school, which is really cool.
That's cool. And that's something that a lot of different positions within the company offer is kind of they train you on a lot of different or in a lot of different areas. You know, you don't have to be so specialized in one thing. You can kind of be a utility player. Can you tell us a little bit more about your specific role here at Holt and what actually does an environmental compliance specialist do?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a mixed bag. But my role is pretty much to make sure all of our locations are operating in compliance with environmental regulations and are always audit ready.
Are there any big things that you being a environmental compliance specialist in California specifically do more than you'd see in other areas in the United States?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, other states are always after California. So California kind of lays the groundwork for environmental compliance in particular, and then other states will later follow suit, it seems like. So Oregon typically is quickly after California regulations. And then other states kind of just...
Got it. So being in heavy equipment, it seems like there's a lot of different fields that we play in when it comes to complying with the standards that the state sets. What excites you specifically about working in heavy equipment when it comes to that?
Oh, that's a good question. It's been a lot of learning, to be honest. This is the first time I've ever worked with heavy equipment. But there are a lot of overlaps with previous positions I've done. So I've written spill plans and stormwater pollution prevention plans, and that was for industrial companies. I was a consultant and hired on for a bunch of different types of companies.
So is your job more focused on our products, or is it more our facilities, or is it everything?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. So yes, it's the products. With new regulations, always encourages, like, it can be problematic in the sense that it makes things a little more strict, but also encourages people to buy new parts when things are out of compliance. And that's like new rebuilds, remands, and just buying new equipment if it becomes out of compliance.
Are there any products that maybe you're investigating right now that you can share a little bit about when it comes to complying in terms of the customer?
I mean, a big one that's coming up, we don't have a ton of experience with it yet, but the Fendt E100 is going to be on the horizon. And we're working to get it on the list for the CORE funding program that's available in California. So it would help customers be able to integrate it into their fleet for a reduced cost if they were to apply for the program.
So what does that mean? You're working to get it on the list?
Yeah, so there's a list of eligible equipment with the CORE program. And it's not on the list right now because it hasn't been sold in the states yet, but I'm working with Eric Williamson to get it on the list so that it's approved for customers to apply for it.
Awesome. And then customers would apply to the state of California for funding to purchase that tractor.
Exactly. Yeah, and it covers a really big amount typically when they apply for this program. I've seen it cover upwards of 80% of the total equipment cost.
Awesome. Are there any other pieces of equipment that are on the list that we either help our customers apply for or we advertise in a sense that it complies, it can be funded through these like supplemental programs?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's a bunch of different equipment. The XES 120 is a is a piece of equipment that we just got for a customer, got approved. It covered a big chunk of the amount. And yeah, the customer has already taken it home and started using that generator.
Okay, so Brie, can you walk me through the process? So, did the customer come to Holt California looking for a solution that would fall under the core funding program, or was that something that we introduced to them?
A little bit of both. So I think this is a good customer of Rich's, and he reached out asking about different programs that were available. I provided the core program, and he looked at the website, saw that it was a piece of eligible equipment he could apply for, and then I helped him with the application process. He got approved pretty quickly, and we got the funding. It's a voucher, so we get paid retroactively, but we got the money and then helped him get the equipment for a better price. A lot of the biggest ones relate to emissions, hazardous materials management, and spill prevention, pretty much. In California, especially, agencies like the California Air Resources Board and local air districts are constantly updating rules that affect equipment and reporting requirements. So, my job is to track these changes and make sure all of our locations and customers are prepared.
So, how do these regulations affect our day-to-day operations across sales, service, and parts?
Evolution of regulations does create change in operations, and change in operations creates opportunity. So, this includes like remands, purchases for new parts, purchases for new equipment when it goes out of compliance, stuff like that.
So opportunity for us is what I'm hearing you say. It's, I feel like when people think of environmental compliance, it's kind of a scary term, you know? But for us, you know, the other side of the coin is it presents a lot of opportunities to engage with a different set of customers, or even just to help handhold and bring those customers up to compliance.
Exactly.
So what are some common misconceptions that employees might have about environmental compliance?
A common misconception is that regulations make daily processes harder, or that the rule is all about paperwork. But in reality, it's about setting up strong practices, making sure everyone knows correct procedures, and ultimately being fully prepared in case of spills or other environmental incidents that could occur.
So take Rich's customer example. That customer came to Rich asking about programs that maybe Rich wasn't super familiar with. So then, as a salesperson, what is his next step?
Oh, he's more than welcome to pass them over to me or make that connection himself. Yeah, I'm absolutely available to our sales team for information on programs that are
So you
available.
are the resource. If you're a salesperson out talking to customers and these programs arise, don't be weary of them. Don't sidestep them, because there are opportunity. Even if you're not fully aware of what those opportunities are, we have a specialist who is dedicated to this, who can help you bring up your knowledge base and help our customer to be able to find the perfect solution for both of you. Why is environmental compliance so important for our company specifically?
Our company specifically operates in multiple cities, counties in California and in Oregon, which means we interact with a lot of local and state regulatory agencies. So staying in compliance protects the company from fines, safeguards our reputation, and keeps operations running smoothly. Plus, keeping documentation up to date and helping customers access funding programs provides us a level of support that Not many of our competitors do.
So in my head, I'm always thinking about California regulations and just statewide regulations, but you brought up a good point, which is counties individually have their own sets of regulations as well. So I imagine that it's really challenging as a facility manager or as yourself trying to figure out how we comply, how our facilities individually comply with the county, state, and otherwise, regulations and standards. So, how do you personally manage that when you have different counties with different regulations?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of different regulatory workshops, board meetings, public hearings that I'm attending just to keep up to date with any changes before they impact operations or customers.
So, do we have a flat standard that we use across all of our facilities? Like, for example, we take the highest standards and we apply that to all of our facilities, or do we take it on a facility by facility basis?
Yeah, we definitely do take the highest standard and apply it to all of our different facilities. Up in Oregon, it is a little more lax with the different regulations they have up there. So we're not applying them as heavily up in Oregon, but everyone does have a spill plan. They all have the basics covered for sure.
Great. So something that you mentioned as a misconception is that people are concerned that the paperwork and the processes are going to slow down their work and make them less efficient. What would be your response to that?
I guess the point is not to make it so our operations are challenged by regulations. It's to make it so that we're proactive and we're avoiding like spills in the first place or avoiding issues from occurring before they happen so that we're not reacting to environmental regulations. We're proactively preventing them.
That's a good answer.
Okay.
So how do you work with the different departments to make sure everyone is aligned and informed?
So every year I do have to go to each site to update their hazardous materials inventory. And during that time, I like to go over their spill plans and make sure their binders are up to date. And throughout the year, I know that changes can occur. So if anything does come up, if anything happens to their binder, I make sure that it's all available on the hub, on the environmental tab, so that they can access it regardless if it's in person or not. For waste manifests as well, that's something that if an auditor comes to your site, they're going to ask for those. And if you don't have all of your waste manifests, it's always available on the environmental tab on the hub.
So, I myself don't know very much about what goes on in the world of regulation and what our requirements are. So, if I don't know what's going on or what I even need to comply with, let alone how to comply, what should I do?
You can always reach out to me. I also send out newsletters every month to make sure that people are aware that I'm a resource to them for environmental needs. And yeah, I'm always a contact that you can reach out to. The environmental tab is a good resource as well. It has everything that you would need if an auditor were on your site. It's under your store on that tab. You can go there and reference all of the information that they might ask for. So, when purchasing a used piece of equipment in particular, you really got to look at if it's compliant, like if that tier level is compliant to be added to your fleet, and if dependent on your horsepower of your entire fleet, if you're able to add that tier level.
So what does a tier level mean? So there's different tiers. What are these tiers defined by?
So they're defined by the year that that engine came out.
Got it. I understand. So newer equipment being more efficient, having less emissions, that's kind of what California is trying to point us towards anyway, is updating our fleets to be more efficient from the user perspective and environmentally more efficient. So when a customer comes to Holt of California wanting to add a piece of equipment to their fleet, they need to understand, especially if it's a used piece of equipment, this is something that we can help them with. They need to understand, one, can they add it to their fleet? If it's a certain year, it's going to fall into a certain tier level, and some different size fleets can't add certain tiers. California wants us to, or wants our customers to be updating their fleets to be more efficient from the customer perspective and environmentally. So we can help them with that process by making sure that the piece of equipment that they're adding to their fleet complies with California's tier requirements. So tell me, so give me an example. I'm coming, I have a large fleet, I'm a large construction customer. I'm coming and I want to add this piece of used equipment, and it's an older piece of equipment. It's a 2007 model. What is something that I need to consider?
You need to consider your current fleet, and the calculation on doors is going to tell you if you're able to add a certain tier level or not.
And what is DOORS?
Doors is the California website that you have to log all of your equipment into.
Okay, so if I have everything logged into DOORS, how do I know if I can add this piece of equipment?
So there's an Excel spreadsheet that pops out, and it allows you to kind of plug and play and see if you're able to add that equipment to your fleet based
Awesome.
on the brake horsepower.
And I'm guessing that a large construction customer has dealt with this before and they understand what they are doing when they are keeping their fleets up to date indoors. So how do we come in and help them? Maybe if they don't know if they can add this piece of equipment or not.
Yeah, that's absolutely something I've done before. Kind of provide different examples. If you were to get this piece of equipment, what that would look like for your fleet, and when you'd need to replace other pieces of equipment in your fleet.
So if I am a salesman, a construction salesman, and I am selling a piece of used equipment to my customer, and they don't know if they can add it to their fleet, I could potentially use you as a resource.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
So, what I'm hearing in the theme of all of this is that you are an incredible resource. I don't have to know everything about the regulations, the compliance, how it's going to best work for my customer because you are here as my resource.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's a few sales guys that reach out to me a lot more than some others. So getting the word out and making sure everyone knows that I'm here to support them is definitely something I'm interested in.
Call Bree.
Call Bree.
So while we push the message that Bree is an incredible resource, reach out to her with any questions. Why should I care? If we have you, why should I care?
Because it starts with everyone. I think everyone should care about the environment, but I also see that Holt does care about the environment every single day. A lot of the practices that we're doing in the shops, in particular, kind of prove that we are motivated to keep our space clean and prevent any spills, which ultimately prevents injuries. So it kind of plays into a bunch of different things if you're proactive rather than reactive.
So thinking about it, I'm like, oh, that's like I'm an employee, that's Holt's job. It's Holt's job to be compliant. It's Holt's job. But also, I am Holt.
Right.
Each of us collectively make up this company, the reputation of this company. So starting to care about our impact and even you can take it down as granular as my environment that I work in every day, my bay of the shop, keeping that clean and compliant should be important to me because it's where I am every day.
Right.
Okay, Brie, something fun. What is something about your job that would surprise most people?
When I come on site, I do think that a lot of people in the shop think that I'm like a gotcha type of person and that I'm there to like kind of catch people doing the wrong thing and scold them, correct them. But I am not. That's not my role. I'm not auditing you. I am a consultant with Holt to make sure that everyone's doing the right thing or is informed of what the right thing is. So rather than auditing you, I'm a resource to help you stay informed and do the right things.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Bree, so much for coming on the podcast today. I really appreciate it. It was really interesting because this is definitely a space that I'm super unfamiliar with, and probably a lot of our listeners are. So, having the opportunity to sit down and think about what we as a company are going through, what our customers are going through, and how to make it all easy, safe, and compliant is important. So thank you again, Bree, for coming on. And remember, everybody, to keep building, keep growing, and keep listening to CORE. We will see you next time.